have it under control. We ask to be at this offering, be at the gift and the giver. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Got a song here we're going to sing together, 354, right before Phil's going to come and present the ministry. And I know he's so excited, a little nervous. I don't know if you've been praying for them, but they've got kids back in Georgia, which you got to talk to them right beforehand. Praise the Lord. But you know, that's always hard to be away from your kids. So just be in prayer for them. Lift them up and before God, and just give them the peace that they need. And you know, I'd also like to encourage you, think about this. It might be easy to criticize certain decisions that we make as leadership, but you know, it's the whole idea of caring for the flock. I don't know if you noticed, but pastor really cares. Amen. About the whole flock. And so do the deacons. And that's what we're trying to take care of. And so we want to keep that up. all through the next month, whatever it takes, for the sake of you, and just making sure that we're taking care of and doing our responsibility. And so I just want to let you know that. Don't just jump to conclusions. It's because we care. It's because we care. All right? Let's go ahead and stand and sing. It's 354, Look and Live. I think a whole lot of people need to look and live, right? And you know, look to Jesus. Somebody mentioned, as Gary mentioned tonight, what are people going to do when the rapture happens? What are they going to do? And we have this opportunity. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. I'm still here. You're still here. When the rapture does happen, guess what? There won't be any more chances at that point. We need to give them the gospel. Look and live. And this is our job to be able to point them to it. So let's go ahead and sing this song here tonight. Look and Live, 354, all three verses. Be seated. And you know, it's great singing, even though we might have a small crowd here tonight. You've been singing very well. Praise God. Praise God that we get to worship Him. So at this point, without further ado, we're going to hand this over to Brother Basham. And he's got a whole load here to share with you.
Thank you. All the pressure's on. This is our last night of church. Got to go out with a bang. And so I am not really sure what to do. I think I could preach forever. We could do that since it's our last night. We could just preach until the cows come home. Do y'all have cows here? I'll just introduce myself. And I think what I'll do is try to introduce a little bit about about Thailand, kind of give you some ideas, and be thinking while I'm kind of talking about what the Lord's done and how the Lord is leading the ministry over there. If you have any questions or anything, be thinking about that, because I'll probably just try to tell you a little bit about Thailand, show a video so you can kind of meet some of the people and kind of see it with your own eyes. And then after that, I'll maybe open it up for some questions. And if you're not interested or you don't care enough, then I will just preach forever. And we'll just kind of go with that. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. All right. So we've been in Thailand for 7 years. We got over there 7 years ago. I don't want to do the math. Sometime or another. I was... I didn't know anything about Thailand when we got over there. I didn't know Thai, never eaten Thai food. I didn't know all about the crazy stuff that happens in Thailand. Maybe you'll get to know a little bit about that. But I was asking the Lord that he would send me to the dark places. I was kind of in his shoes. You're in Bible college, right? What year are you? Okay, here's a sophomore. That's really when the Lord really started to stir up that desire to be a missionary. I went with an evangelism major. So I thought I was going to go preach all over America and do all this kind of thing. Probably because when I got right with the Lord, I was listening to an evangelist. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to preach and I want God to use me. I want to see people saved. I want to see his word go forth with power. And so I went, and then I was an idiot when I went to Bible college. I think we're all idiots when we go to any kind of college. But I was very green. I was very naive. I remember I went just to visit the college. I grew up in kind of I was a mess. I had run away from home and all this kind of dumb stuff. And I just got right with the Lord, and I was extremely thankful and grateful. I went to visit college, and they opened up in prayer. I had never seen anything like it. I was like bawling in the back. I was like, I can't believe this place is like heaven. I don't know. But the Lord used that tenderness in my heart to help me, and I grew and I grew, and I was asking, what can I do? What should I do? Just kind of this thought shifted from evangelism into missions, because I was thinking, I'm prepared. I'm going to be a preacher. But then I kept thinking more and more that if I wasn't here tonight, that guy would probably be preaching. And I just kept thinking like that. It's like, I want to go to a place where if I wasn't preaching, nobody would be preaching. Nobody would be hearing. The gospel would not be heard. And I will have the chance to take the gospel and share it with somebody for the first time and see him use me in a dark place. And I didn't know exactly where that was going to be. That was really my desire. I didn't know how the whole mission call thing happened. I didn't know how you decided on a country. I didn't know if you're like, what's that? Spin the bottle. You get into a room like this with a bunch of flags, spin the bottle and like figure out which one it pointed out, and then figure out which flag that was. I guess that's where the Lord leads me, because his hand is in the casting of the lots, or however that verse goes. Is that how it goes? I mean, I think it's very confusing sometimes. And I was, even though I was in Bible college and I had this great desire to be involved in missions, I didn't know what to do next. I'm going to throw this thing across the room. Maybe I need a bigger ear so it fits. Why is it not even coming up? Maybe that's my problem. It's like tucked in my... Oh, it's tucked. It's hooked on my button. Okay. I forgot what I was talking about now. What was I talking about? Something about missions, probably. Picking your country. Oh, picking a country. So, I was finishing college. I really wanted to be involved in missions, and I had a lot of questions. And so I figured I really needed to know a lot of practical things about cross-cultural ministry and about working in other places and living in a place where you're speaking another language and all this kind of stuff. And so I just started calling missionaries. I found some people recommended some good missionaries, and I said, like, hey, can I come live with you for a few months and ask you a bunch of questions? And one guy said yes. I ended up down in Peru for 6 months and was able to go kind of practice language school. I didn't feel like I was going to end up in Peru. I thought maybe it was a possibility. But still, while I was down there, I was still waiting. Like, God, I'm waiting for something to happen weird in Peru. I'm waiting for some, you know, those missionary stories. Oh, we've been waiting for you to come. The Lord told me that there was going to be some skinny, beautiful haired boy to come and tell me the gospel. I had lots of luscious hair at the time, and I was skinny. But you know, that now that happened, and I was just wanting to some confirmation. And so I was asking and praying about different countries. After my little 6 month internship was over, I had a chance to go back to Georgia and help start a church there. And that whole time I wasn't married. I hadn't met Lori yet, but I knew I was headed toward the mission field. And I had this book, Operation World. Y'all ever seen the book? You ever heard of the book? It's a pretty good book. It's kind of like an encyclopedia of countries, to tell a little about the Christian progress in a country and about the needs, about the Christian population, the what kind of Christians they are, and kind of a summarized 2 or 3 or 4 pages of each country. And I would just pray through that every day, and I would like study and I would learn about these countries. Like, Lord, would you have me to go here? Lord, would you have me to go here? Lord, would you have me to go here? It continued after we got married. We were still doing the same thing. We're just saying, Lord, where are you going to have me? And I was waiting. How does God lead me? How does God call you? Because when you hear call, God's call, you think that's going to be pretty dramatic, right? God, you think thunder, lightning, Mount Sinai, thunder shaking, all this kind of stuff. At least it's going to be like a still small voice or something, you know. I mean, I wasn't that superstitious, and I wasn't waiting for something, but I was waiting for something like that. And the Lord eventually led us and allowed us to talk to people and kind of meet some people. We prayed through that book. I saw the country of Thailand, 65 million people, maybe 69, depending on which stat you read. There's 69 people over there. 69. There is 69. But there's more than that, 69 million people over there, and it's a 95% Buddhist, it's 4% Muslim, it's 99.5% non-Christian. Nobody even calls themselves a Christian of any kind. You can go over there, and like you go to the Middle East, it's closed, and it's violence, and the violent reactions. You go to China, I have friends that are missionaries in China, and they're having to find creative access ways to stay there where they don't get caught. I've had a couple friends get kicked out. And then right in the middle of that Southeast Asia sector, there's Thailand. 65 million people, Buddhist people. It's wide open to the gospel. The doors are open. We have now a missionary visa for the express purpose of evangelism, church planting, and spreading the gospel. If we wanted to, we could go over there and just stand on the street corner. And I looked at that opportunity, the open door, and I was like, Lord, why is nobody there? That seems like a great opportunity. And the Lord used this, because really, we're not supposed to be waiting for God to do weird things in our life and like, what should I do today? Oh, I feel something over here. Is that how we're supposed to live our life? Correct answer is no. We're supposed to live our life by His truth and His word and wisdom. And his truth says that He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. His command says that we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That doesn't narrow it down very much, right? And we're supposed to be involved in the Great Commission. We're supposed to be involved in taking His word and doing His plan, which is discipling, seeing people saved, and starting churches, because that's how God is deemed to reach the world with the gospel. And then wisdom says if there's a big open country over there with 69 million people, there's a wide open door of opportunity to go over there. Maybe there's a little connection that we could make there that I could be used in a place like that. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord confirmed it in our hearts, just giving us, I mean, not in some weird, spooky way, but the Lord gave us that desire, I think, all the way from the beginning, desire to be involved in missions, desire to take His word to a place that's not, or His name is not known, those dark places, and then a desire to be in the country of Thailand. So we signed up, raised our support, and we ended up over there. I didn't know any Thai, and we spent a couple years in language school because it's hard. It's a tonal language. It's got 5 tones. Chinese is easy. It only has 4. And so you can say, ma, 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 ma. That's 5 different words. Ma is like, come here. Ma, that's horse. It's not even related. You know, ma, that's dog, you know. So you have all this, it's this language. You're like, how do you do that? Because every syllable has vowel links, and then every syllable has one of those 5 tones. And then you got live and dead and middle and high and low consonants, and then dead and live ending syllables, and you have to put it all together for every syllable. It's like, how are you ever going to learn it? Well, you just go over there, and it's possible. The Lord gave us the gift of tongues. Over 2 years of studying in language school. And I ended up, because you know in your own deputation, like they're missionaries to where? Yeah, they're going to win the whole country, right? I mean, that's kind of how you talk when you're on deputation. Like, I'm going to go reach Thailand. But then when you get over there, you have to pick a place. You got to end up at a spot, you know? And we ended up in the middle of Bangkok. It's a 14 million people. I'm from a town of like 600 people. And so I'm in the middle of this country of 14 million people. It's 22,000 people per square kilometer. And we got this church, and I asked for God to send me to dark places. And on the mouth of the road, our street is about half a mile long or so. And on the mouth of the street, there's a brothel, think like Hampton Inn, and then double it. And that's the brothel that's right down the road from us. You come inside the street just a little bit. There's one that's twice that size, and the name of it is called the Lord's Palace, and it is not a church. And it's right there, and then next door to that one, getting closer to our church, you understand, there's another one called the Crystal Palace, and our church actually shares a parking lot with that place. You keep going closer to our church, there's a fortune teller, and he's got all his advertisements on the front of his doors that says, he's like on TV. I mean, fortune teller is not the weird thing that we see here, but it is 90% of people go to a fortune teller because they need to know what colors are good luck. They need to know what business license, their phone number, their license plate. They need to figure out all these things so that all the spirits can line up and like not curse their lives, and they can end up with better luck that day. And so they go and seek the fortune teller, and our church is connected to that. We're in the same building. It's a shop front. We opened up a church right there. We put up a sign. It's glass front buildings, and we just started having church. We wanted to meet a whole bunch of people, which isn't very hard to do when you're in a city that dense. We started having English classes. And we had like 6 weeks of English class before our first service, and we had a bunch of people come. Can I just use that? We had people show up, and we taught them some English and stuff like that. And then they on that first service, 50 or so people showed up, and many of those were friends that we had met in the Thai church we were working at while we were in language school. Some other people, but really from the community right there, there's probably 15 or so people that came that first Sunday. And so we're in this, we started preaching, and where would you start? I could use that if you want. Okay. I feel like that. What's that one? Crazy preacher? Rod Parsley. That's what I feel like. Y'all know who that is? Good. But he uses a mic like this and he screams. Okay, anyway. So, so we started a church, and let me give you a little bit of an idea of Buddhism. So Buddhism, how much do you know about Buddhism? Buddha, karma, it's getting a little fuzzy, you're kind of losing it. If you want to understand how much they understand about Christianity, they understand about as much about Jesus and Christianity as you do about Buddhism. So they've heard his name, he died on the cross or something, then that's about it, and it starts fading off real soon. And so when they come in, you can't just say, Jesus died on the cross for you, repent and believe, and you should be saved, because they don't understand any of that terminology. You say, just tell them John 3:16. Well, if I did, what I'm saying, even if I say it correctly with the perfect accent and all the right tones and say it in the right, just like the Bible says it, they're going to hear something totally different because of it's Buddhism, but it's folk Buddhism, which means in Thailand, it's the kind of its own brand of Buddhism. Buddha would not be proud of how they are practicing his teachings, because it's about 10% of his teachings and about 90% spiritism and animism and just superstitions. And so there's spirit houses in every house, in every corner of every business, everywhere you go. It's just this spiritism and this animism and their fear of the spirits, and they're trying to appease them, and they're offering sacrifices like little fruit, and they'll light some incense, and they'll do this every single day. It's not something that's like barely practiced, kind of they don't think about it anymore. No, it's very active. And so when people are coming in, like one of the tenets of Buddhism is, okay, the Four Noble Truths. Noble Truth number one, this is Buddha's thing. Noble Truth number one, life is suffering. And there is a way out of suffering, and the way to out of suffering is to follow my eightfold path. Or my four, the four noble, those are the four noble truths. Fourth noble truth is the eightfold path. The eightfold path leads to like 156 rules. And if you follow all those rules, then maybe you'll have a chance to get into nirvana, which is nothingness. And so how that turns into real life is they get the first part. Life is suffering. And what they're looking for is a way out of suffering. And so that's why they do all the spirit stuff. That's why they do all the superstitious stuff, because they're trying to make their life better. And so they come into church and they say, "What do you got for me?" And they sit down and they're really enthusiastic, and they'll just sing along with you because they're used to praying to this spirit, this spirit, this spirit, spirit, this spirit, this spirit. They got this incarnation of Buddha, this incarnation, this incarnation, this incarnation. They all teach different things. It's all contradictory. And you come in and you say you have another teaching, and you have another spirit, and you have another God who can help you, and he's full of grace and truth and all these good sounding words. And they say, "Sure, I'll try it," just like I tried lighting incense yesterday. And they will come in and they will sing the songs. They have no idea what they're talking about. And they will do everything that you tell them to do. If I wanted to, I could say, "Pray with me," and I'll lead them through a sinner's prayer. And they would definitely repeat it. And they will walk out and they will see how their life goes that week. And if it's good, then they'll come back even more enthusiastic. But the challenge is teaching the gospel in a way where they can understand. You say, "Well, just read the Bible to them." Even if I said John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," you know it. For God. Who's that? I've never heard of him. I don't know of a God. I don't know anything about him. So loved the world. Well, Buddha told me that I'm not supposed to love anything. I'm supposed to be nice and stuff like that. But if I love something where I'm attached to it like that, that is the cause and root of all suffering. We're not supposed to covet. We're not supposed to be attached. And so I don't know anything about this God, but this God really he must be a bad one, because he's so attached to the world that he's going to sacrifice his son because he has so much desire for this thing. And so he kills his son because he's so evil to be attached to the world. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So believe on him, like you have everlasting life. Well, that is completely contradictory to what Buddha had to say. He said you can't make merit for other people. You can't do anything to make points for you. It's all up to you. So you have this karma from your past lives, and it has followed you to this point. And you have to do all the good things, and you have to do enough right, and you have to work that off. And if you follow the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path and all these other rules, then maybe you have a chance. And so they say, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they're like, "I already got everlasting life. I've been reincarnated thousands and thousands of times, and I'm in this cycle of life and suffering and death and reincarnation and life and suffering and death and reincarnation, and I want out of this eternal life." And so it's a challenge to try to communicate the gospel to them. So where would you start? Anybody come up with an answer yet? I couldn't come up with anything interesting either, so we started in Genesis 1:1. And on the first day, we talked about God who created the world. And we just started there. My first three points were God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Let me introduce you. And one of the people that came that first day was a guy named A. And A came, and he was interested, and he seemed it. He was asking questions. He wanted to learn, and he wanted to say, "What's next?" And I was like, "Well, come back tomorrow, and we will do some Bible study." And so he came the next day, and actually brought a friend, and we started doing some Bible study. You say, "What's the secret, and what's the key to reach and tie people with the gospel? How do you get them from this misunderstanding? This like it's not just they don't know anything, but it's they have been taught, and so they, even when you say John 3:16, they hear something totally different. They misinterpret it. So you have to teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach to kind of overcome some of this misconceptions, and then you're back at zero, and then you teach and 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 teach until they understand everything that he taught us to understand. And so
We did that. I said, come on Monday, and they came, and we started about 10 o'clock, and we just started studying the Bible, and about 1 o'clock, we got kind of started wrapping up, you know. I just put the verse on the screen. I kind of do my little computer and little AirPlay over here on the screen. We just have the Bible. We don't flip around and try to confuse everything. We just take that passage, and we just work through it, just a passage or a paragraph or a few verses a day. And we just start there, line upon line and precept upon precept, and here little and there little. And we just kind of walked through the scriptures, and they said at the end of the day, well, that was good. What are we going to do next? I was like, well, come back tomorrow. We'll do it again. And so we did that on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And then I renamed it and we did it on Saturday. And then they came to church and we had Sunday. We had preaching and I'd end up preaching for like an hour. And then we take a break and we eat some food and we have Sunday school for another couple hours. And so you know what the secret, what the key, what the trick is? To reach and tie people that are so far from God and have lived in darkness in this pagan idolatry and superstition and culture is hundreds and hundreds of hours of opening God's word and allow God's spirit to use his sword in their lives. And we've seen God do miraculous things through that. It's not always been easy. And those first few that came, they started bringing their friends, and pretty soon we had like 10 people around this. We had kind of a conference room table with a bunch of tables we put together, and we had that glass front, like I said, and so we're like in there. I got the Bible verse up here. There's this white guy up here preaching and tied to these, not preaching, we're just talking about the Bible, and these people are walking by, 22,000 people, you know, per square kilometer, just walking by because our front door is, you know, here, the glass front door, and then you've got a sidewalk and then a street. And so this is just busy, and they're peeking their heads and like, what are y'all doing? And we're like, come on in. And so they come in and they'll sit there. We've had some of those managers of those brothels, they'll come in there and sit and they will ask some questions. We've had monks come in and ask some questions. We have some whoremongers. There's tons of sexual perversion and all this kind of stuff, and they're just coming in. You say, maybe you should have picked a better place for a church to start. Well, I'll go back to C.T. Studd. He said, I would rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell than within the sound of a church and chapel bell. And so we're right there in the middle of all of it. It's a mess. It is not all easy. It is not all glory stories. It is not all fun and games. The devil is attacking. There's a lot of challenges in all of this, but the Lord is working, and he is faithful to use his word and to use his truth to see people saved. And so those people grew, and they started learning, and they started growing, and now they're the ones today. I mean, they were Buddhists just a couple years ago, and today I talked to some of them on the phone earlier. They're all worried about the coronavirus because they're in this really densely populated area and everything's flipping out and all this kind of stuff, but they're the ones that are leading the church. They're the ones who are making the decisions. They're the ones who are teaching. They're the ones who are preaching. They're the ones who are leading Sunday school. They're the one. They had more people a few weeks ago than I ever had when I was there. I mean, the Lord is really blessing and using them. And I just praise the Lord because he can do miraculous and wonderful things when we just kind of step out. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing complicated. I just took his word and talked about it for a lot of time. And he uses weird and foolish people like me and weird and foolish people like you just when we just get involved in his work. So, through all this, I forgot about the video. Through all this, I'm trying to, you know, encourage, because, you know, you have this small church, you have this kind of nucleus stuff getting started and going, and I'm like, well, we're good, this is good, praise the Lord, but we need to start some more churches. We need to reach out. We got 65 million people here that we need to start more churches. And they're like, well, I got an idea. I went to college right across the street. I mean, it's like a kilometer away, but like 100,000 people. So we can go right over there, and you can rent a building, and I'll invite all my friends, and we'll kind of have another second church on some other day of the week, or maybe Sunday later in the day, or something like that, and we'll just kind of start another church. How about that? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of broke. I don't really know how I'm going to afford that. I'll tell you what, I know a bunch of rich people in America and I'll go over there and I'll get some money from them, and then we'll come back and do that. So here I am. So you want to meet some of them? Well, there's a video that they put together. Maybe the TVs are afraid of the virus and they went home. Are they working? Okay. Coming up on our first year of the church, there was an anniversary coming, and I told you kind of some of the crazy stuff that everybody thinks and all this kind of stuff. They don't think you can go to church. They think to be Thai is to be Buddhist. To be Buddhist is to be Thai. There's no reason a Thai person should ever be in a church. They'll come up to me and they'll say, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Well, we have a church over here." Like, for who? A white, like, I don't see that many Farang, that's what they're called, like foreigners over here. I'm like, it's not for foreigners. It's all just a bunch of Thai people. They're like, what? No, like, so it's all in English, right? Because they're thinking like, yeah, they just come because they want to learn some English from you. Like, nope, it's all in Thai. We sing in Thai. We preach in Thai. They're like, have like what, two people or something? I'm like, no, it's a pretty good group. Come on, you can come. And it just like blows their mind. And so we, at this first year anniversary, after all this time and all these, we've seen all these people grow and stuff. I said, hey, how about we make a video and we'll put it on Facebook. And I just want you to tell, as a Thai person, I just want you to talk and tell about why you're a Christian, why you came to church, what's going on with all that. And so that people around here can hear from a Thai person about how God has worked in them and saved them and what he's doing in their life and how their life has changed since they became a Christian and how that's all possible. And we're just going to put it on Facebook because Facebook is the internet over there. It's like the number two city for all the world for Facebook in Bangkok there, that city. And so we put it on there. And they did this. They put all this work into, I mean, they're baby Christians, you know, and so they put it together, and the music did not come out in the most conservative fashion, but I still want you to see it. Is that okay? So here it is, I think.
ที่หนูเริ่มมาที่นี่ได้ก็เพราะว่าเกิดจากความสงสัยค่ะหนูมีความสงสัยเกี่ยวกับคริสตศาสนาที่มีความแบบหนูอยากรู้ลึกซึ้งกว่านี้เป็นยังไงเป็นมายังไงแบบอยากรู้มากกว่าที่เคยรู้มาว่ามีแค่แบบพระเยซูเป็นศาสดานะอะไรเงี้ยหนูก็เลยลองหาดูแบบว่าคริสตศาสน์ที่อยู่บริเวณใกล้ๆแถวๆที่หนูอยู่นี้ค่ะ
ก็มาที่นี่ได้ก็เพราะว่าหนึ่งเลยก็ได้
มาเรียนภาษาอังกฤษกันนะครับก็เรียนฟรีจะชวนมาทำงานที่นี่ก็เลยเป็นจุดกำเนิดของโบสถ์เพราะคุณดินแดงครับก็วันแรกเอให้มาช่วยเล่นดนตรีก่อนครับแต่ทีนี้ก็เรียกทุกอาทิตย์เลยครับให้ความต้อนรับแบบอบอุ่นนะคะทำให้แบบหนูรู้สึกว่าไม่ใช่คนแปลกหน้าสำหรับที่นี่เลยก็ หนูได้เรียนรู้เกี่ยวกับพระคัมภีร์เกี่ยวกับพระเยซูแบบทำให้หนูเรียนรู้มากขึ้นแบบรู้เยอะมากขึ้นกว่าที่หนูแบบเฮ้ยมันใช่หรออะไรเงี้ยแบบรู้สึกแบบมีวันนี้ได้ก็เพราะว่าพี่น้องคริสเตียนแล้วก็หลายๆคนได้ช่วยกัน
หนูก็ได้รับเชื่อที่นี่แล้วก็ได้รับบัพติศมาอยู่ที่นี่ค่ะ ก็หนูชีวิตของหนูก็เปลี่ยนไปแบบทำให้แบบมันเปลี่ยนไปจากเดิมเยอะมากค่ะปีที่แล้วก็ได้รับบัพติศมาแต่ก่อนหน้านั้นก็คือเรียนพระคัมภีร์เรียนรู้เกี่ยวกับพระเจ้าอยากรู้กับความจริงที่มันเยอะจากที่เราไม่เคยรู้ก็รู้มากขึ้นหลังจากที่มาเรียนพระคัมภีร์กับอาจารย์ที่นี่ ก็เปลี่ยนไปเยอะเพราะแต่ก่อนเราเหมือนเชื่อแบบงมงายเชื่อเหมือนคนที่นับถือศาสนาเชื่อเหมือนคนที่เชื่อลูกเคารพเพราะว่าเป็นคริสเตียนมา20 กว่าปีแต่ไม่ได้รู้ข้อพระคัมภีร์ที่มันเป็นความจริงจริงๆเรามีความเชื่อแบบนั้นบางทีมันเหมือนกับเรางมงายแต่พอเรามาเรียนรู้เราได้เข้าใจอย่างถ่องแท้ชีวิตเราก็จะถูกต้อง
เราไม่ได้แบบว่า
ฟังอย่างเดียวอะไรเงี้ยแบบให้เราได้แบบว่ามีโอกาสได้พูดด้วยก็เลยแบบรู้สึกว่าเรียนพระคัมภีร์ก็จะเข้าใจ
ชีวิตของเราอย่างพี่ปูเองเนี่ยเป็นซิงเกิลมัมลูก4มันทำให้พอพระคำมันเป็นจริงแล้วเนี่ยมันทำให้เราสตรองอ่ะมีความแข็งแรงมีการดำเนินชีวิตที่กล้าเผชิญอ่ะไม่ว่าจะรูปแบบไหน
แต่ว่าสิ่งที่เราต้องใช้ก็คือมีความรักกับความอดทนก็คือเราต้องรักในแบบที่พระเจ้ารักเราแล้วก็พระเยซูรักเรา
ว่าปัญหาของเราก็เหมือนไม้กางเขนแต่พระองค์ยอมทนทุกข์และแบกแต่ชีวิตของเรามันเหมือนมันไม่ต้องขนาดนั้นเพราะว่าพระองค์ยอมที่จะทำสิ่งเหล่านั้นแทนเรา
พระเยซูไม่แบ่งแยกพระเจ้าพระเยซูเป็นคนที่ยุติธรรมไม่มีการแบ่งว่าคนนี้สำคัญกว่าคนนี้สำคัญกว่าเยซูก็รักทุกคนเท่ากันหมด
นั้นเนี่ยถ้าจะให้พูดเป็นข้อพี่ปูก็ไม่ได้จำแต่สรุปรวมๆคือพูดถึงเรื่องของความรักที่พระเจ้ามีให้กับเราแล้วมันเป็นรักที่วิเศษมากๆแล้วมันสุดยอดอ่ะ
สำหรับวันครบรอบโบสถ์ของคริสตจักรพระคุณดินแดงนี้นะคะก็มีความประทับใจในหลายๆอย่างค่ะแบบสมาชิกทุกคนในโบสถ์แบบเป็นกันเองดูแลกันดีอะไรเงี้ยค่ะแล้วก็ช่วยสอนกันช่วยหนุนใจกันก็ถึงหนูจะไม่ได้มาตั้งแต่วันแรกที่โบสถ์เปิดนะคะแต่ว่าทุกคนก็ดูแลดีมากค่ะ
ได้เห็นคนที่เขาอยู่กับที่ไม่ได้เชื่อในพระเจ้าแล้วเขาได้เข้ามาแล้วก็เขาได้สัมผัสถึงความรักของพระเจ้าผ่านทางคนในโบสถ์ที่ตระจักแห่งนี้ครับทำให้เขารู้สึกว่าที่ตระจักที่นี่เป็นส่วนหนึ่งของชุมชน
เพื่อนก็มองว่าเลนอะไรก็แบบทำไมขอบคุณพระเจ้าอะไรอย่างเงี้ยแต่มันดีสำหรับเลนเพราะว่าเลนได้จากตรงนั้นจริงๆเพราะว่าเลนขอและเลนเชื่อพระเจ้าให้พอพระเจ้าให้เลนก็แบบขอบคุณพระเจ้า
ว่าเราทำงานทุกอย่างของพระเจ้าก็คือเราทำเพื่อพระเจ้าเราไม่ได้ทำเพื่อเอาอกเอาใจใครเราไม่ได้ทำเพื่อจะให้ใครมาชมเราแต่เพราะว่าเราทำเพื่อพระเจ้าแล้วสิ่งที่ดีมันก็จะตามมาคนก็จะเห็นพระเจ้าในตัวเราคนก็จะขอบคุณพระเจ้าผ่านทางเรา
ประทับใจค่ะทุกๆอย่างเลย
เพราะว่าพี่ปูอยู่ได้เพราะความรักของพระเจ้าจริงๆพระบุตรของพระองค์คนเดียวเท่านั้นที่ทำให้ชีวิตของเราไม่เหน็ดเหนื่อยต่อไปที่ทำให้ชีวิตเรามีค่ามีความหวัง
not cry every time I see that video. I've seen it like 1,000 times. But you know, you're thinking about only a holy God. Buddha didn't give you any worth and love and hope and any of that kind of stuff. It's only our God. He teaches about love and truth and mercy and grace. It's foreign to them. But not anymore. So, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer. Oh, my timer just went off. I did a really bad job of preaching, I guess. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
You preach a very solid message.
Well, praise the Lord. I guess nobody cares and nobody's interested. Any questions or, yeah?
So we see a lot of Thai people in the States from salons, food places. So if we want to witness to them, build a relationship with them, get them to church, what's the best way to do that? And where can you find tracts in the Thai language?
I have a couple tracks back there. Like I said, there's no real shortcut. You just want to get to know them. And so you can't, they're super social. They're super, it's a land of smiles. They're really easy to get along with. You just have to come up with some excuse to have a conversation with them, invite them out to eat, get to know them a little bit. They probably, I don't know if they're anything like Thai people, they probably won't come over to your house or maybe invite you over to their house. But if you invite them out for coffee or something, you just talk to them and start to ask some questions and get them. I mean, that's about it. There's no like magic formula that I know of other than hundreds of hours of Bible study. So start somewhere. And with that goal in mind, you don't have to do all 1,000 in the first day. I wouldn't recommend that. But, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think helped make it click for them to go from so far in depth into their religion to having to totally decimate that? I mean, is there some pull? I mean, and that's having their whole life committed to that, and then pulling them away would mean that their whole life was a lie beforehand. What helps them click? What helps them? I mean, obviously the Word of God, but I mean, is there something that helped with these folks that you presented?
It kind of clicked with different people at different times. Like I said, we started in Genesis, and I just tried to give an overarching story. So from on the first day, I talked about how creation really points to Christ. And we went from the fall and how the fall, how Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the fall. And then we went through the flood and how God, judgment is coming. But Jesus is, he took our judgment upon him. And it's everything, it's all one big story, right? And so we just, what I try to do is like, I'm not wise. I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to try to reveal truth to them as God has revealed it to us and how God has chosen to take a long time over many stories and many things in history from Genesis all the way to Jesus and even up till now. I mean, that's how God chose to help us understand it and how to help us click with it. And so I just tried to follow that pattern and, that they kind of came along. Abraham was one of them, talking about faith and how he was the father of faith. And when they saw that story and how he trusted God and he's walked out and he didn't really see where he was going, didn't really understand all that, but he trusted God and God had a promise for him. And I told him about how Jesus is, he promises you, he will save you. You can trust him. And we trust him like that. That's an example of faith and trusting God. And that, I think that was one of the stories. I got to some of the stories. I'm like, this is gonna flop for sure. But I like the tabernacle. I'm like, I don't think they're gonna care about Israel and all their like weird customs and stuff and how they built all these like things in all that time. But I was like, it's pretty important, so I should probably preach it. And so I preached it, and that was like one of the sermons that was like, I got more comments on that like opened more eyes, like more light bulbs clicked on. And afterwards, it's like, yeah, they go to temples all the time. They got all this stuff that's going on. And what I explained, like the whole temple or the tabernacle set up to show us and illustrate us that there's one way to God. We must be cleansed. We must be purified. And we're trying to get into the Holy of Holies where God lives, and just showing that whole thing and how that is really a picture of what Jesus has done for us. They're like, I get it now. And I remember this one, there's an old guy, he's like 70 something years old, and he was one of the ones. He'd come every single day. He came for English class, and he came all the way up to when we got to the tabernacle, and he's like, I finally get it on the tabernacle. So I don't think you have to come up with anything creative. I think you just take his word and his truth and you just teach it. And that's the best answer I got.
I hear you say John 3:16, Ty.
Okay. เพราะพระเจ้าทรงรักโลกดังนี้คือได้ประทานพระบุตรองค์เดียวของพระองค์เพื่อให้ทุกคนที่วางใจในพระบุตรนั้นจะไม่พินาศแต่มีชีวิตนิรันดร์ Did you have, are I out of time? Oh.
Does the government have any restrictions on your ministry?
Does the government have any restrictions on the ministry? Like I said, we have a missionary visa. We have permission to be there. So right now they do limit the number of visas that they hand out. And so if you don't have one of those visas for like explicit permission for this, there's still other ways to do it. Like you can kind of come under a foundation or something like that. But you know, it's a little bit more iffy, but basically no. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's wide open door to go over there. So, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What led you to become a missionary?
Loving God. It wasn't because I love Thai people. I didn't even know them. You know, it's not because I thought they were amazing. It's not because I got over there and like, oh, Lord, just give me such a love for the Thai people. Really, they're kind of annoying. I mean, they're really nice, but it can be really tiresome. So you're not there for them. And if you are, you're going to come home quick. It's because you love God and you love His Word. And if you don't get up every morning and fill yourself up with truth and grace and allow Him to like fill you up, you're soon going to be empty. And so you asked me how I got to Thailand. That's how you stay in Thailand, but that's also how you go to Thailand. If your motivation is to go over there and win the whole country to the Lord or something, you're going to quit because it's really slow. But if you go over there for Him and His name and His glory, and so the other people may know Him and worship Him, that's good stuff. So He's taught me more over this time than I ever grew in any other time. You see it with a different lens. You start to be the servant in a much more like concrete way. I think as a pastor, you learn this when people, it's draining and people aren't responsive and they're slow to speak. And they're slow to listen, quick to speak. They're slow to listen and they're hard hearted and they're hard headed. And you're like, ah, you're like, this is probably how God feels. God loves me that much. He loves me a lot. And you learn those lessons really well when you kind of get involved in that kind of stuff. I saw a question over here.
You said you may like want to rent another place, start a new church or whatever. U.S. currency, what are we talking about on that? How much money will it take to do that kind of thing?
Well, the exchange rate is one of those missionary things that you don't really think about. But like over the past couple of years, our exchange rate we've lost like 15%, which is like it's just money that disappears. So that kind of stinks. And which also makes our rent over there currently go up. So our rent is almost double now than what I signed up for. If we're speaking in terms of dollars. So that puts a lot of stress on it. If I was going to rent another second building, it would be much smaller than the first, but we're in the middle of the city, and so it's like New York City. It's expensive. It's not as expensive in New York City, but I'm saying New York City is a lot more expensive than here, you know, just because it's a big city and everything's at a premium. So same thing, if for numbers, I think it'd be at least $1,000 just to rent like just a small room about the size of your foyer out there. Yeah. So it's not, it gets kind of expensive. So, did you have another question?
Two questions. What does the average Thai person, if they turn to Christ, do they experience persecution from temples, from their family? And the second question is, how many missionaries, Baptist missionaries, would be in Thailand?
Baptist missionaries are, I mean, of our stripe and brand and people that kind of do things like we do them, like involved in preaching the gospel and working in toward church planting or something like that, I'd say there's probably 30 or so that I know of. There's more than that. Like if you count Southern Baptists, if you count Presbyterians, if you want to count Catholic, I mean, there's a bunch of people that are working there that call themselves Christians and things like that, but not a lot that are involved in just in like discipleship. There's like for instance, Southern Baptist headquarters is in Thailand. And so there's like thousands of people that work there, but they're not really like daily involved. They don't, most of them don't speak the language. So they're not involved in discipleship and all that kind of stuff. So not very many. There's still a, Ben, what was your other question? Oh, the persecution is not persecution like in the Middle East or China or something like that. It is more like they are very, it's a very, collective society. And so that can work for you and against you. So as a collective society, like Americans were taught, do right till the stars fall. Do right no matter what anybody else does. You stand up for what's right no matter if everybody else. And like, we really honor and respect that kind of thing because we're extreme individualistic. We're on that. They are on the other end of the spectrum. So like the really shameful thing to do is to stand up in contrast to what everybody else thinks is what you should be doing. You're supposed to like keep your head down, do what you're told. Don't try to make it, don't try to disrupt things. Don't try to mess up this little system we got going on. And so, in a way you, you don't replace it, but you have to create a new culture. That's what the church, I mean, the God is really wise again. The church is really great. And so when people start to become a part of the church, that really helps them as they grow together in community and all that kind of stuff. That really helps. But in contrast, when they go home, like we're in Bangkok, and so the most people come from around and into Bangkok and they work. And in holiday time, they all, it like Bangkok empties and they go back to their smaller towns and stuff like that. And inevitably, I will get calls. John, that's the word for pastor. My whole family's here and they're all ganging up on me. And they're like, why did you turn into a Christian? And they're trying to turn me back. And they're just like, literally like surrounding them, like intervention style. Like, what are you doing? Because like, I know I told you that they can't make merit for, but that's one of the things that they do. And so a kid, a son, he is supposed to, when he, at some point in his life, go and become a monk. And like, that's like the greatest joy of a parent. And that's like what gets them so many points. And when you become a Christian, you say, Mom, I'm not going to do that anymore. And your mom hears it like, I hate you. I want you to go to hell. That's basically what they're hearing. And so it's this really extreme social pressure from the smallest, like your family unit, to your community, because it's like the village raises the child, very much so. So it's like all the way to the government. And so it's just, it's pressure, it's really extreme pressure to not do that. That's the kind of persecution, whatever you want to call it, that there is in Thailand. I'm way over time, but y'all can keep asking questions because I got all night. I'm just staying right down the hall.
What's the size of your congregation?
Like if they're fat or not?
No. What would you say is your membership, if you want to say, versus those that come and just are part of it?
During the coronavirus or otherwise? Okay, I'll answer your question. I would say the rhythm for going to the temple is once a month, so they're not accustomed initially to come to church every week. So if you count like people that come over the course of a month, it's probably 50 or 60 people that are kind of coming regularly. Any given Sunday, it'll be like 35 or 40 or 45 maybe or something. I mean, we've had over 100 at some like special days or events or things like that, but it's like the ones that are really involved and growing and all this kind of stuff. It's just a small congregation of about 40, 50 people. Uh-oh.
What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking of giving a church?
Love God. No joke. Fall in love with Him. Fall in love with His Word. Get in it every day. Get involved in ministry. I mean, in America, you don't have to go to the other side of the world to serve God. I was telling him the other day, ministry, okay, it sounds super weird, right? In Thailand, you're like, oh, blow my mind. It's 90% the same. So you want to get involved in ministry, you want to get involved with your pastor, you want to find some place to plug in and fit in, Because it's a lot different to being a spectator in church than being a participant. And remember just a second ago when I was talking about you feel that frustration and people are slow and hard-headed. And all, that's what you need to, be involved in ministry like that. Because it's Americans are also the same. And so you learn and you grow through that. But love God. Be involved in ministry. Challenge yourself. Start something new. Don't just be a part of the crowd. Because when you go to the other side of the world, it's just you and Jesus. And so you got to be kind of a self-starter. Have a lot of self-discipline and all this kind of stuff. So you practice all those things. And you got to learn. I mean, you got to know things too. Like you got to know your Bible. Because they're going to ask you the weirdest... Most of the questions they did not teach me at Bible college. Amen. So, he's moving up like he's trying to play me off the stage. But he had a question. So maybe you're the last one or something. Like I said, I'll go all night.
How are the hearing impaired or deaf treated in Thailand?
That's a good question. How are the hearing and deaf treated? If you're infirmed in some way, is that the right word? If you have some sort of handicap, it's assumed you're terrible in your last life and you're getting what you deserve. If you're rich, they're like, okay, you're an awful person, but you must have been really good in the last life. And so they just have this like weird conflict in their mind, like, I hate you, but you're amazing. Something. But it's the opposite with people that have some sort of problem. They're just looked with disdain. They're not worth anything. They are obviously bad. And so they're kind of treated that way. And so, like, when you love people like that, it speaks volumes. When they hear about Jesus who loves people like that, they understand his love more. So, yeah.
Okay, let me just make a couple of announcements then before we have prayer and dismiss tonight. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Taylor. He has put in hours putting this conference together. And it's a shame that we can't experience everything that was planned. But it's going to be that much easier for him next year. He's got half of it already planned, right? just a reminder, too, tomorrow night will not be here, okay? Please live stream. We're going to do whatever we can as a church to reach out and stay connected with you, but you have to do your part, too. It's kind of like to be here tonight. You had to get in the car and drive here, okay? Tomorrow, you're going to have to intentionally, and it'll be easy not to, but you're going to have to intentionally get on your phone, your tablet, your computer, go to the Facebook page, the internet, and watch us on live streaming. Or if you have a smart TV, Roku, you can get us through that as well. The online giving is already set up through our website, okay? But also, I don't know if you picked up on it tonight, we had a question or two come in through our Facebook feed, the live streaming on Facebook. So that's how you can be interactive with us tomorrow night, okay? When it comes to that question time, please log in. Jim's going to be up there with no one in here. He's not going to have anything to do with his cameras. They're just going to be pointed straight at the front here. He's not going to have anyone to look at. So when you log on, send him a message, you know, saying, I'm here, okay, or whatever. Just keep in mind, if you throw any sarcastic comments up, it's Facebook. The whole world will see it, okay? We have had to delete a few comments that some people put on there before. But also, if you're watching by live stream tonight too, and, or you, those of you here, if you're not, comfortable or you don't feel savvy enough to do the online giving, you can drop it by the church anytime. You can drop it in the mail, your love offering or even moving forward from our conference, your just weekly tithe offering and giving, things like that. So, I'm just not sure how to end tonight, so I'll have you close in prayer.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out tonight. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for the Bashams and their ministry, and that they love God. They love you. They love your word. And despite the fact that people can be difficult sometimes, they love the Thai people. you can tell when the tears are flowing when they're talking about you and how amazing you are. God, we love you. We praise you for your holiness. We praise you that you bring us together. We praise you that you give us options in the midst of whatever's going on around us. And Lord, we just ask you just bring us together even closer through all of this, and just give us the wisdom that you promised to give us. And we count it all joy to have various trials. God, we know this is a growing time, because that's what you promise. And Lord, just help us to be a light in this dark world. Help us to be that rescue shot. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Not searching for easy, but searching for you and giving you to all those that we meet. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.